This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing.
No, you ain't.
He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly. As soon as it drops, we're on a rampage. Bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you
like a Monday. Hey, Jeffrey, hit it.
Yeah. All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind.
You know, I've looked at these new playoff matchups, Jeffrey.
Every time I step up in the field, everybody hands
go. Looks pretty promising for your Memphis Grizzlies, doesn't it?
Looks better than...
Looks better than it did.
Better than the 7 through 10 play-in tournament.
Certainly better than a stupid-ass 7 through 10.
Mm-hmm.
Let's screw Memphis, see
yeah.
if we get Zion in their play-in tournament.
Let's also screw Dallas in the process.
Yeah. So, Brian Windhorst, what do you have to say about what could be coming down the pike?
I really think there's a good chance this is only going to be a 16-team playoff. And if that is the case, it opens up the possibility for something that Adam Silver has long wanted, which is to seed 1 through 16 in the postseason and go that route. There's no excuse with travel or anything like that. It would have to pass an owner vote, and that means a bunch of Eastern Conference owners would have to agree to it. But if there's a way to make this interesting and spice this up and potentially test out this theory, you're never going to get a better opportunity if that's the direction they go.
Always like that Adam Silver fellow.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, I'm kind of suspicious of him and his intentions towards Memphis, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have the small market stuff that David Stern had, the love for the individual, the smaller market. But anyway, so that's certainly good news, and we will talk about that today, what it could mean for the Memphis Grizzlies. Also on today's show, Gary Parrish. Oh, I should tweet out the lineup. Have you tweeted out the lineup?
I just did.
Okay. Gary Parrish will join us. Hey, man, we're rusty. Give us a break. We've been off for like a month. Really, many thanks, by the way, to Entercom for giving us not just Monday, which we would normally have for Memorial Day, but also Friday. So we're coming off of off of 4 days. Anyway, we're going to have GP in the next segment if he remembers that it's Tuesday. There's always that peril. It does feel like Monday, doesn't it?
It does.
It just does
feel like Monday.
Last night
definitely felt like Sunday night.
Sunday night, and this morning feels like Monday, and it's going to take a little bit of an adjustment. So if GP remembers that today is Tuesday, we'll talk to him in the next segment. Chris Harrington, I presume, will join us at 10 o'clock, and we'll talk to him about the NBA, et cetera. He also, by the way, did finally do a piece, not finally, he did a piece in the Daily Memphian about plans for the riverfront. We can talk to him about that as well. But so that's the lineup, GP, Chris Harrington, and there was a whole lot of interesting football news, too, as we all reemerge. Before I do anything else, it was certainly an interesting weekend. Jeffrey, you moved, right?
I did.
That's a fun way to spend 4 days.
That was I was on my feet for basically three straight days.
One of the worst experiences.
Not great.
In life that doesn't involve tragedy.
Call Black Tie Moving. Me.
So anyway, Jeffrey moved over the weekend. I watched a sporting event. You see that?
I did see this.
How about that?
I know. I'm proud of you.
I watched actual, and I had very mixed feelings about it.
Okay.
It was at Game Day, which is the baseball complex in
what used
Cordova.
To be the old Bogies.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yes.
Used to be the old Bogies. And it's a beautiful complex, mm-hmm. and God bless them. And
I've spent way too many hours there.
78 teams from five states playing in a youth baseball tournament over the weekend. And as I said, I had very mixed feelings about it. The mixed feelings about it were, woohoo, it's baseball. Like, it was awesome. And to see, but the best part was to see the kids, like, chattering away happily.
Nothing like good 12-year-old baseball chatter.
No, well, just kids being kids. It was just the best.
I was not being sarcastic.
Okay, I didn't know.
As someone who's coached a ton of youth baseball, yes.
It was just the best. They were just having so much fun hanging out.
Hey, get out, kid. Come on down, dude.
In the hanging out in the dugout, they you know, seeing each other again. It was just joy on the faces of people, and kids especially. And I loved every minute of it, except for I was terrified for the universe. But both things were true. The health department signed off on it, and who am I? Like, is there replay, instant replay? I don't think there's instant replay, right? There's no instant replay. I don't get the review from the sky. Mm-hmm. I'm not the sky judge, sky umpire on this. The health department signed off. They even actually visited Friday morning. The health department came by and said, if you do this, this, and this, and this, and this, it should be okay. And it's outside. So that's good. On the other hand, if you take 78 teams and you just say there's 20 people per team, and let's be honest, there's many more than 20 people per team, right? I don't mean players and coaches.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
players
no.
and coaches and family.
Yeah, I mean, depending on the teams, you know, each team roughly has 12 to 15 kids.
Right, and then you got a bunch of coaches. You got
correct.
20, just 20 without yes. coaching a single parent.
Correct.
Right? And then if a parent comes for every kid, then you're up to 35. But even at 20, you're up with 1,500 people going through that complex.
Jeff, I'm not sure if you're familiar with youth baseball dugout etiquette. Not the most sanitary either.
There were some parents who weren't letting their kid. There's one mother I talked to who wasn't letting her kid be in the dugout. But mostly, I think this is generally true, baseball crowd gives no Fs about the virus, generally speaking. It is a suburban MAGA crowd. It just was. Okay, this crowd was. Never mind. Definitely, no one had a mask on. Like, no one. Out of the 1,500 people, except for umpires.
Yep. Catchers.
Mm-hmm. Employees.
Yep.
And then the rare loser, like, you know, me. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I'm a media person. I say that.
Snowflake media.
Yeah, the snowflake media. But basically, it wasn't 1 in 50 who had a mask on.
Yeah.
Okay? It was not a mask-wearing crowd. And they had paint dots painted everywhere where you're supposed to put your lawn chair,
mm-hmm.
and people just gave no Fs about that. They sat down next to the other mother.
The old baseball folding
chair.
And they
talked about it, and it was beautiful. I tweeted a picture from it that made you just want to cry. Like, it was beautiful. We should be allowed to have summer, you know? Yeah, it's fantastic. And then there's also a part you just hope – That's it. I just hope, right? I just hope it, there's nothing bad comes of it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they were doing the best they could. I'm not at all, like, and again, the health department signed off on it. So, but in a weird way, it became a microcosm from what we saw around the country.
Oh, yeah. I was about to say, the baseball fields were not the only place that struggled with the social distancing.
Lake of the Ozarks, man.
Woo!
How about that?
Yikes.
Like, that looked disgusting even if there was no COVID-19, right?
There were so many people in that pool. For a place that has natural beauty, that was not the postcard that I was looking for.
I think Lake of the Ozarks, a pristine...
You get the mountains or the hills.
Beautiful waterfalls, trees, forest, everything.
Like
wildlife. Basically, it was 10,000 people in a single pool sharing urine and COVID-19 together. And just literally, I would want no part of that without a pandemic. And then Atlantic City was jammed. Basically, everywhere was jammed. So the hope is that in 2 weeks we look up and nothing happened. Because this is a good test for SEC football.
Fingers crossed.
Right? Which also, SEC football also announced that they folks can come back on the
June 8th, I believe.
I think it did show. It set up the if nothing bad happens in 2 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
It really is good.
Like yeah.
Because we tested this baby.
Yeah.
You know how
we did a stress test.
We put this through it. We put this country through its paces over the weekend.
Yeah. We were on the treadmill and the EKGs were hooked up and we were really figuring
it out. Nothing bad happens. That's great. On the other hand, it was also I hope it doesn't set back all of this. It feels like we're making progress, right? If all of a sudden, boom, you get the spike, then what do? It also does show that this idea that you can get 20,000 people at Ohio State or whatever else behaving themselves and social distancing, completely crazy. Just look at the Lake of the Ozarks, right?
Right.
Isn't like the people on the tailgate, are they going to be really social distancing, people tailgating?
I suppose
outside the horseshoe?
I suppose the argument would be it's easier to control. So therefore you could close
Than a single swimming pool?
Well, I'm just saying you could close off. You could close if it's Ohio State and you know that you're under scrutiny. You can close off all tailgating spots, and then you control the tickets.
Yeah, you do control the tickets. I think it's hard to control 20,000 people. We can't even keep people from rushing the field, right?
Correct.
And so how you can keep them from high-fiving or hugging or moving over to see the person who's supposed to be 6 feet away? I got no idea. Anyway, that happened over the weekend. I saw a sporting event. And it was beautiful, and it was scary, and it was scary beautiful. My favorite quote from the whole deal was by one Rodney Shook. Rodney Shook sells pork rinds and kettle corn out there. He is 70 years old.
Baseball classics.
He makes his own pork rinds and kettle corn.
Of course he does.
I sampled the pork rinds, and there was one barbecue, one hot, mm-hmm. and one plain.
Yeah, standard.
All three delicious.
The Holy Trinity.
I asked him about a mask.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the quote from Rodney Shook. You can read about it if you subscribe to the Daily Memphian. I don't wear one. I think it's a sign of the times. The virus is one of those things that was prophesied in the Bible, and I am waiting for the rapture.
Okay.
I'll be honest. Before I moved to the South, never met a pork rind salesman not wearing a mask, because he was waiting for the rapture. Until the rapture comes,
right.
Pork rinds are $7-$8 bucks a bag.
All three flavors?
Two for 15.
Okay.
If you get two bags,
it's like
15,
he's paying
it's a
you.
Deal. It's like Rodney is paying you. Really nice guy and is waiting for the rapture. Anyway, so there was that sporting event over the weekend. I had a graduation later as well. Lausanne did a lovely job. With the graduation, we had mini graduations.
How'd the steak dinner go?
10 at a time. Steak dinner was awesome.
Proud of you.
From Folks Folly, take out steak dinner from Folks Folly for Peter.
Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop.
They did it 10 at a time. So you walk in, you have your temperature taken.
Mm-hmm.
You walk in, you sit in 10 different spots in the auditorium far away from each other. You get the moment of crossing the stage.
Sure.
You get the moment. It actually was... They did a really nice job. Of course, what I've said, I saw your man, Neil McCready, said, mm-hmm. or our man, Neil McCready. Can I borrow him now,
yes,
too?
Yeah. Man.
I like him. He's gracious enough to come on this show and share his insights. He's really good. He said, listen, all of you out there who are bemoaning you missing graduation, I went to my graduation, you know, no big deal. I fundamentally agree with that. The issue that the kids are missing isn't graduation. It's graduation season.
Sure.
It's driving to graduation. It's getting ready for graduation. It's the party after graduation. It's all of those things.
Some of the kids, I mean, not to be super doom and gloom, but, like, you have friends in high school that you probably
won't ever see again. It's having, back in the day, it was having people sign your yearbook. It was, like, whatever else it was. Like, it's graduation season that you miss as a high schooler, not so much graduation. But anyway, Lausanne did a great job with that. And then, of course, there was this tremendous, tremendous golf match between Tiger, Phil, Peyton, and Tom Brady, which was a unbelievable success.
Television experience.
And I think there were some important lessons from it. It was, well, we'll give you a sample of some of the trash talk. Let's give people a few clips here. What do we got?
Let's start first with who would Peyton bring as his caddy?
If you could have brought a caddy today, who would it have been?
Brady, we were talking, he would have brought Gronkowski because Gronk does whatever Tom asks him to do. Gronk will wrestle, take a year off, come play in Tampa with me later. You bring Eli, could do that. You bring Nick Foles. I was thinking maybe Belichick. Bill Belichick, caddy for me. And just to see how that kind of would have worked.
That wouldn't have got in my head.
My, you know, Tiger and Phil came out. They, like, took three swings and they're ready to go. So I've taken about 3,000.
I have to pick those few moments that were far between where I was able to beat Tiger. And 2012 AT&T was one of those. And I had this old blade with a white-hot XG insert from Odyssey that I putted phenomenal with. Shot 60.
How about this, Phil?
Oh, yeah.
Phil is like, Tiger was like stoic, like deadpan Tiger, and Phil was telling you
he
about his great golf shots.
Also wearing red and black.
Yeah, also wearing red and black.
It was Sunday!
And Phil was like telling you all about how he hit his great golf shots. Mm-hmm. All right, carry on.
If you could have...
Oh, carry on, sorry.
2012 AT&T was one of those, and I had this old blade with a white-hot XG insert from Odyssey that I putted
from
phenomenal
Odyssey.
With. Shot 64,
got 64
to his 75, won the tournament. And that putter has been known throughout the golf circles as the Tiger Slayer, and so I brought that out for this particular event. You're throwing me off here. You're taking me away from my focus, Amanda. But we've already done the math.
And it went.
Yeah, we figured it out. We've got the formula. We just got to go execute it. I thought he would go good just to, like, get the match going, get it friendly.
He's not a gentleman on his home court.
No? Gentleman? Ever?
He's definitely not a gentleman. I know that.
Phil is like, everybody's got an annoying friend who's really, really smart, and you ask him something simple, and he gives you, like, the brain surgery answer.
That could be fairway. Over on 7.
Chuck, you got any swing tips for me? I'm struggling.
Hey, brother, listen, I'm not that guy you need tips from.
I've seen Phil do some hot things before, but having teed up mark that ball has got
to
be up there.
You want me to use one of my U.S. Open medals?
Do you have one?
Huh?
Do you have any? I got some silver ones. Do you have any of the gold ones? Either one will work.
I should have three of my
right,
feet tomorrow.
Let me have it over.
So on the Chipper Jones thing, it just lets you know you can. I'm just saying this for myself. You can be great in one sport and not great in another sport. I just want America to know that.
Well, right on cue.
My partner's going to make this right here.
These aren't the Falcons you're playing against. Tiger's a pretty good closer.
Same colors, though.
Man.
It's the Eagles that I cringe, bro, not the Falcons.
I'm sorry, Chuck, but my partner's calling me in for a read. He's a hell of a lot more important than you are.
It's not on your driver, is it?
I mean, who else is it on? It's not on Bill's. That's not the Arizona State mask.
No.
Don't.
I missed that, T. Hold on. Let me step on that real quick.
Let me put any Michigan.
They haven't been good since you left.
Oh,
you know.
Did you see that?
I sucked in hard.
Anyway, it continued. The there were it was given that it was raining, It was a made-for-TV event. It was fantastic. And it was fantastic, I think, for a few reasons. First, Tom Brady sucked.
Yes.
And I've never played golf.
Mm-hmm.
But my understanding is,
yes,
that sucking at golf in front of even your friends,
yes,
is painful. Playing with people who are much better than you and sucking, you then immediately start to go spiraling down a hole of self-doubt and humiliation because you have to step up and hit that next shot. And then if you are playing, people talk about it all the time, badly at a pro-am,
mm-hmm,
off the tee,
mm-hmm,
it's just, people talk about melting, excruciating. Just sucking at golf is really painful when you're doing it in public, mm-hmm, right? Tom Brady was sucking at golf, not just in public, but in front of the whole world while the whole world was dunking on him.
If I may also add this.
Fantastic.
In front of the largest cable golf telecast of all time. All time. Literally all time.
So it was magnificent. But what actually happened, don't you think this is ultimately incredibly good for Tom Brady?
Oh, yes.
Tom Brady was able to be an underdog.
Yes.
Tom Brady was able to fail at something. Tom Brady was not Tom Perfect. Tom Brady was, by the end, you were rooting for Tom Brady because he was stumbling around so much, couldn't do a damn, mm-hmm, thing. And then he holes it from the fairway.
I've got it. You want it?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Hey, Tom, how many shots you want? This Chuck. Come on, man. I'm going to give you some shots, man. I want
all
some
right
of you.
Got to get going.
Chuck, I've been focusing on football, bro. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl.
Dude,
man,
ready to dominate.
I think you just made him mad, Chuck.
Oh, no, I love it, though, man. He can take a joke.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, go in!
Oh, my goodness!
Oh, you made it!
Wow!
Chuck. Shot of the day.
Chuck. Hey, man, Chuck. I got that's all food.
Shut your mouth, oh, Chuck. Take a little of that medicine. Get your butt out of here. When the going get tough, the tough get going, boys.
It was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Also, though, to your point about how when golf is going poorly in front of people and it spirals and it's just one of the most lonely, miserable feelings, basically because you can't blame it on anyone else. Like that's, you know, and right, anything else in sports, you can kind right of, even if it's not
no,
true.
No, but then the opposite is
you hit that one freaking
exactly
shot,
it's the
you
one,
keep going back because
what
it's
you
stupid
saw, it's the thing people say about golf is that you hit one
yes
beautiful shot in a round and you can focus on that shot forever. And not only that, you can talk trash off of that one great shot, even though you suck the whole rest of the time, and it'll keep you coming back because you'll think, I'll do that every time the next time.
Mm-hmm. Especially
why
when you're playing partners
that?
Tiger Woods. You can really just do that.
Right. So what you saw there was the misery of stinking in front of people,
mm-hmm,
and then the glory of hitting that one shot that keeps people coming back in golf. So that was great. But then from a why does this work so well perspective, it's the access.
Yes.
Right? And I do think, I hope what it does, and Popovich won't like this, we like to hear these guys. Now, this is particularly hilarious. You don't get Charles Barkley commenting on everything, although it's funny. Charles Barkley talked about how you can be, we heard that in the clip,
yes,
you can be great at one thing and not at another.
Yes.
It is amazing that Charles Barkley is so great at two different things.
Yes.
Playing basketball and talking
yes
about anything, right?
Reading the phone book.
He's tremendous. And he just nailed Phil Mickelson in one sentence. Phil Mickelson is that irritating friend.
Yes.
Right? Like he just absolutely summed him up. There, it's not just funny. It's that there is a truth to the funny.
Yes.
Funniness that is really revealing. But to me, yeah, you're not going to get everybody. You're not going to get this collect of characters. I mean, Peyton Manning's hilarious. Phil and Tiger, when it's just them, wasn't enough. They were trying too hard. right? Correct. But when you surround them with this cast of characters, and then you have people chiming in from the internet, you got Brooks Koepka calling in, you've got all of this happening, it was absolutely, it was like a party that we've all been invited to. It was great.
I think that you hit the nail on the head there. There's this idea that you're getting to peek into what it would be like to watch Phil Mickelson, a foursome.
Play
that
golf.
Can,
yeah,
like all of them, like all four of them could play somewhere, you know, the medalist down in South Florida, and it's a match that you would read about maybe in, you know, Once Upon a Time in Sports Illustrated, the match between the four of them. But now you're getting to watch it. They're mic'd up. You're invited to experience it with them, and there is something that's inexplicably entertaining about that.
It was a blast. I confess I did not watch, as we go through the weekend, I did not watch the Lance Armstrong
documentary.
I'll catch up with that. Part two is coming out next Sunday. So I did not do that. But anyway, the other news of the weekend, as we began with, was that there may well be, again, we don't know for sure, but it is increasingly likely that the NBA is going to have a single site to return to play, that it will be Disney. And this part we really don't know for sure, but there has been speculation that it may be the 16-team tournament. And not only that, that instead of doing the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference 1-8, that it will be a reseeding. And the beautiful thing about that is, instead of playing the Lakers, the Grizzlies have Marc Gasol and the Toronto Raptors. Is there any argument that you would prefer them to play the Lakers?
Just from an attention standpoint.
See, I think there is only that argument if the games were played with fans.
Right, in normal circumstances.
In a normal circumstance.
Sure.
Because then you get the Lakers show coming to Memphis.
Correct.
And you get all eyes on Memphis.
Every game would be on the biggest,
every game,
whatever,
yeah.
It's the prime time game.
And so if you had a normal pre-pandemic series and you had a choice of Lakers-Grizzlies or Raptors-Grizzlies, then I can see a very strong argument that you'd rather have the Lakers, because you'd rather just have that whole show come to town. You're going to be underdogs in either series. Sure, greater chance of beating the Raptors than the Lakers, but the trade-off is that much more attention on your city, that many more fans in the stands, that much more excitement. We want the Lakers. When it's the Lakers in Disney for a playoff series and you're not getting any of that, give me Toronto, man. Give me Toronto, a Toronto team that you might well be able to, you know, there is no universe, and we'll break it down with Chris when we have him on at 10. There's no universe in which the Grizzlies would be favored over the Raptors or likely to beat the Raptors. But you can talk yourself into it.
There's
you
plenty
can talk,
of storylines, too.
And there is plenty of storylines, right? So, and not only that, here is the Grizzlies' path to the title. Ready? Grizzlies over the Raptors. They pull the upset. Listen, they've done it before. This would be a 3-14.
Correct.
Right? But they have done it as an 1-8 before. Who's to say they can't knock off the Raptors? These are not Kawhi Leonard and those Raptors. This is a very different Raptors team.
Do you want me to read the seeds real quick?
I'll give you the matchup. Go ahead. Go through the seeds.
The one seed, according to ESPN, the Bucks would be the one. The Lakers would be the two. Toronto would be the three. The Clippers would be the four, Boston the five, Denver the sixth, Utah the seven, Miami the eight, Oklahoma City the nine, the Rockets the 10, Pacers the 11, Sixers the 12, Mavs the 13, the Grizzlies, as mentioned, the 14 seed, the Brooklyn Nets the 15, and the Magic the 16 seed.
As you can see, the problem with that is that the Eastern Conference pretty much gets shoved down the seedings. And so they may well object. And as Brian Windhorst said at the start of the show, it would take a league vote, an owner's vote, to do this. And so it's just how much Adam Silver wants it and how much they want Adam Silver to get what he wants. But so it may or may not happen. But that's the seeding anyway. So you get the Raptors the first round. You go ahead and you advance to play either the Denver Nuggets or the Indiana Pacers. That's not impossible, is it?
No.
And then,
especially considering you don't have to go to Denver,
right? You don't have to go to Denver. Exactly right. All this is neutral court. And then in the semifinals, having advanced to the semifinals. It's not the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. At that point, you get the Los Angeles Lakers, who have knocked off. They've let Brooklyn in the first round, then Utah and Houston. That sucks for Utah, by the way. Utah can't get away from Houston. Like, even in this,
yes.
East, West, whatever, and you got a matchup where Rudy Gobert is of no use whatsoever against those three-pointers, and so that sucks for Utah. So it's probably the Lakers and Houston. Lakers advance to play your Memphis Grizzlies in one semifinal. Over in the other semifinal, you have Milwaukee defeated Orlando. You had Miami Heat, Oklahoma City in a really interesting matchup. Whichever one of those advances will get beaten by Milwaukee. You have the Clippers and Mavs. How about that as a first-round matchup? That'd be fun. And
Boston, sign me up.
And Boston and the Sixers.
Sign me up again.
Like, that's a throwback to the old days. Boston and the Sixers. Whatever. Let's say you have the Clippers and the Bucks, and the Lakers and the Grizzlies. That's it. Like Who says no? You got the two small market teams on the rise, Milwaukee and Memphis, and playing against the two LA teams. And then you have an all LA finals. By the way, this does serve the purpose of having, which I think the league would want, an all LA finals.
Oh,
Lakers,
yes.
Clippers finals.
Oh yeah.
What's wrong with
LeBron,
that?
LeBron and Kawhi.
I think this works. We're going to talk to GP about it when we come back. It's Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN. And here on this Tuesday, it feels like a Monday. Back in a moment.
I have wonderful news, Memphis. Oak Hall is open again. Now, that's wonderful news because Oak Hall is a part of Memphis. And if Oak Hall is back, that means we're starting to make our way back, too. But beyond that, there's a lot of things we have to get, you know? It's graduation season. And if your graduates can't have actual graduation ceremonies, they can still have memorable gifts. There are birthdays and anniversaries to celebrate. Father's Day will be here before you know it. Or maybe you just want to thank the person you've been quarantined with all this time. There's no better way to do that than with a gift from Oak Hall. And yes, of course, they are cleaning and disinfecting and being as careful as you'd expect them to be. This is a store that made 4,000 masks to benefit church health during their time away. They're certainly going to take care of you. So stop by, if only just to say hello or to pick up something for someone you love. It's a joy just to be able to do that once again. And the folks at Oak Hall would love to see their friends.
New Amsterdam Vodka is a premium, 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It is 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered 3 times to create a soft finish, as you surely know by now. It's so smooth you can drink it straight. And yes, it is what I, Gary Parrish, buy when I'm inside the liquor store. And that's because it's a quality vodka that's reasonably priced. Do you know how silly it is to pay nearly twice as much for another bottle of vodka when New Amsterdam is awesome and available? It's super silly. So don't do that. Instead, just grab a bottle or a case of New Amsterdam Vodka, which is the fastest growing brand of vodka in the United States of America. And if you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam offers a variety. And very shortly, they're going to have a watermelon flavored vodka. That'll be the newest flavor when it hits the shelves. It'll be here before you know it. Also, New Amsterdam got a gluten-free vodka. So if you're on a gluten-free diet, grab that. A bottle of New Amsterdam gluten-free vodka. Ask for it by name when you're in a bar, restaurant, or liquor store. New Amsterdam Vodka. That's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com.
Every home has a to-do list. That leaky drain, bare spots on the lawn, repainting the trim. To finally get that to-do list done, call in a pro. Over the past 20 years, HomeAdvisor has connected over 100 million homeowners with trusted local pros. And during these times, we're making it easier than ever for great pros to join the HomeAdvisor network. For a limited time, home service businesses can get $200 in free advertising. Visit HomeAdvisor.com/grow for details. That's HomeAdvisor.com/grow.
At Charmin, we understand the last thing you should have to worry about right now is having enough toilet paper. Please know we're working around the clock to get you more Charmin as quickly as possible. We're also donating $2 million to direct relief to serve our communities. In the meantime, from our Charmin family to yours, please stay safe.
Radio.com helps you stay connected to the news, local news, with updates about how coronavirus is affecting your area, and everything else to keep you, your family, and friends connected to everything important happening in your community. Get even more information with national news leaders like CNN, Fox News, Bloomberg, and more. Get it all. Local news, national news, business and financial news. Stay connected to all the news you need on Radio.com and the Radio.com app.
In the wake of the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, we're being asked to stay home in an attempt to stop the spread of the virus. So Radio.com is giving you an opportunity to stay connected with our live daily online broadcast called I'm Listening, Stay Connected. I'm Dr. Chris Donahue. I'll be joined by celebrities and experts in the field of mental health to give you facts and tools to support and guide you. Watch I'm Listening, Stay Connected every day at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Stay connected with Radio.com.
Hurt? Dial pound 529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jeff Calkins Show, home over the weekend, and it is nice to have a lawn that is not a mixture of bare spots and weeds. We're going to be home for the holiday. We're going to be home for the holidays. We're going to be home for the summer. We're going to be home, 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 home. And a lot of folks are focusing on their home. One way to do that is to call Jameson, 452-1505, 452-1505. It's Jameson Pest and Lawn, and yeah, they take care of your pests. They take care of your termites, all of that. But it started with me on my lawn, which was a disaster. And I hadn't signed up for a lawn service previously because my experience was is that they just came. It felt like they just threw the same fertilizer on your lawn as every other lawn and then put that little stick in the thing saying, oh, I was here. And it didn't really do anything. Here they actually focused on my lawn and by doing it, have transformed. The bare spots are no longer bare spots. The weeds, they've cleaned out the weeds. Now there's grass growing in those spots. It can happen for you, too. We're home. Let's take care of our home. 452-1505. It is Jameson, JamesonPest.com. Joined now by Gary Parrish. Gary Parrish, host of the Gary Parrish Show, 4 to 6 every single day. Also, national college basketball columnist for CBS Sports, CBSSports.com. Rising star in the field of meteorology, multiple Emmy-winning television personality, coughing. GP, was that you coughing?
Nobody was coughing.
Okay, good.
There is no virus in this household that we know of.
Oh, that's. I'm glad to hear that.
I think you might have confused coughing with me closing a door so that you don't hear a 3-year-old or 6-year-old start yelling for whatever reason they might be yelling on Tuesday morning.
That could be it. So I appreciate you closing the door. I hope that no havoc happens on the other side of the door during this Tuesday morning. How did you spend your weekend, GP? Did you social distance or did you have everybody over to the pool? Did your pool like a mini Lake of the Ozarks pool?
No, my pool was filled with my family. That's it. We didn't have people over. It's weird. Like we have for years now on holidays like Memorial Day, had people over and we've got the grill going and, you know, kids are playing and, you know, the music going. It's just not like that. I know other people handled this weekend different ways and like whatever, I'm through telling people what I think they should do or doctors think they should do. But here at our house, we kept it simple. And so we were off Friday, you and I, radio, everybody. So we were at the pool on Friday, at the pool on Saturday. I actually went and played golf on Sunday and then at the pool again yesterday. So really I was, the only places I've been, my house, Kroger, and TPC Southwind.
Okay, so TPC Southwind, you played with other people. What was the scene?
Yeah, it was me and my buddy Chris and my buddy Mark and my buddy Brad, and it was pretty relaxed. I mean, we all had separate carts, And, you know, we didn't pick up each other's balls the way we might normally do, or, you know, we did what they say you're supposed to do. Like, we really did abide by the recommendations. And it not only was it safe, it felt safe. It didn't feel weird. I have, for since this thing started, wondered, like, what is doing normal things going to feel like, look like, and how different will they be? And while I still haven't gone into a restaurant and eaten, I can say that when we played golf on Sunday morning, it felt a lot like normal. Like, it was
nobody,
probably the
nobody
most...
Wore, nobody wore a mask, I take it?
We did not. There was nobody in a mask on the course. I think the recommendations at this
point
are...
You're outside. I think it's okay. Yeah, right?
Yeah, I mean, we were not right up on each other. Like, right. Nobody was, we weren't shoulder to shoulder. Like, when we talked, we stood in a circle reasonably 6 feet away. So we did, we played the way you were supposed, you're advised to play. And I will say that, like, it felt normal. Like, those 4 hours on the course felt like they could have been the same 4 hours from a year ago. The only difference is that we were all in separate carts.
Could be one reason why, I guess, golf courses are, well, I was talking to Scott Morris over the weekend. He played, I don't know what, but the only tee time he could get was like Friday at 5. This might even been a week and a half ago, right? And there was a huge wait for tee times. I guess a lot of people are playing golf because, A, you can't go to, a lot of people have decided they can't go on vacation, can't do anything else. They're home, and golf feels relatively normal. It's outside. Were there a lot of folks on the course?
It didn't feel packed, but we were out there early. Like, we teed off at 8:20 in the morning. And so we got out there. We wanted to get out there before it was hot. We wanted to be done before the Tiger Phil thing started so we could watch that.
Did you drink at 8:20 in the morning?
Maybe.
Did you drink on the front nine?
That's what I'll do. I'll have, if I'm being honest, I had 3 Trulies on the front nine. That's it. Just to make it feel normal. I was trying to feel normal.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
And so, but no, I cut it off. And like, I used to, when we'd play, I would actually like drink New Amsterdam vodka. And then I'd realize like that the back nine gets complicated that way. And it's not fun anymore. So, we're out there. It wasn't packed. But it was, there was a group in front of us, there was a group behind us, but it didn't feel overwhelmed, like, oh my God, this place is packed. But you got to understand, like, Southwind, there's only so many people that are allowed to play there. So it's a little bit under control. But yeah, under normal circumstances, like right now, my 2 youngest kids would be in baseball. We would be getting ready to go to the beach. We would be having people over. We would have places to go. And right now, there's just none of that for us. Like, we pulled our kids out of baseball. They're just not going to play this summer. We canceled or rescheduled our beach trip. We're not going to other people's houses. They're not coming to ours. And so golf is something you can do. If you enjoy playing golf, it felt safe and it felt reasonable. And it was a good little 4-hour escape.
It was interesting because we, as a country, give no F's. And as you said, you're done telling people what to do. I saw a remarkable baseball tournament over the weekend, 78 teams from 5 different states converging on Cordova. And I guess all I will say about it is I hope that in 2 weeks we're okay, right? I mean, if we are okay in 2 weeks, it will give people – if Missouri is okay in 2 weeks – it will give people great confidence that as we begin to bring our football teams together and on June 8th, the SEC opens up and all of that, won't it? I mean, honestly, like, I wouldn't have been in that pool, but now I'm rooting for the people in the pool.
Right. Like, if I'm being completely honest, I thought we would have already seen these devastating spikes based on the way people are acting. Not because I felt like I knew something other people didn't. I just like listen to what the doctors say, and they say reopening too early could, have devastating ramifications. And it doesn't appear that has happened yet. And so I'm going to keep rooting for it not to happen, because if it doesn't, like, if we really do look up in 3 weeks and everything is stabilized or is actually going down, perhaps that's a sign that you know, that we can live a little more freely than we thought we could, or we were told we could, you know, two months ago.
What will it take you to live more freely? Like, let's say in 3 weeks, you look up, a whole bunch of stories coming out saying, all right, so Memorial Day weekend, everyone was out and about and whatever, and you know what, cases in the United States and in every one of the states where you might have thought would have been trouble spots going down.
I don't really know. I don't know how much I need my life to change right now.
Having kids over from another family, like, you know.
I mean, the problem with kids is that you could actually have adults over, and like, you know, they're not.
You can't socially distance kids.
Yeah, kids are going to be in the pool jumping on each other, and again, like, all the doctors still say that's not a wise thing right now,
right.
And so we will probably keep, you know, kids
looser. I'm looser in this respect than you are. So, for example, I have people who clean my house, right, every 2 weeks, and they have come back. Those people have come back. I have my kids regularly go, like, Peter has a girlfriend. He goes to see that girlfriend. And she comes over to our house. Ben was down here from Chicago with his girlfriend. They lived with me for about a month and whatever. They've gone back to Chicago. Like, there's more. I see Julie, my ex-wife, all the time. We got together like for graduation and had dinner together and whatever else. So, and coming up, my dad's internment is taking place in Northern Michigan, and not all of the siblings, but probably seven of us from different parts of the country. Not all with our complete families, but probably, you know, there'll be three of me, about 20 people all together in the same couple of cabins up there in Northern Michigan, which will involve driving, stopping at truck stops to pee or wherever. And like, I'm not standing in a pool with breathing on someone for 3 hours like that. And I wear a mask when I go to the grocery store, but I do those things. And maybe I'm an idiot. I'm older than you. Maybe I'm an idiot. But I have decided that I can't. Maybe it's like Memphis football. You know, like, okay, it doesn't seem to be in this community. There's a 6%, something like that. There's a 6% positivity rate of people who are symptomatic and are tested. It's not widespread in our community. And so I am not living with abandon. I'm not an idiot, like, whatever, but I have made some choices that are different than the choices that I made 2 months ago.
Yeah, I haven't really yet. And I'm not saying I won't, and I'm not criticizing anybody who does, but we've kept it a pretty tight ship. I will say my oldest son came to me yesterday because the gym he goes to is now open. We have not allowed him to go back, but he wants to go back. And I think he assumed I would say no based on everything else I've said. And I'm like, you know, just understand you have he has diabetes insipidus. He was right. Born with it. You know, that's an underlying medical condition. So, like, just don't, simply because you see other people not taking it seriously, just remember you'll probably be fine, but you might not be. So, sure, if you want to go to the gym, but stay away from people, like, rub, you know, wipe right. things down. Just be smart about it. Like, once the doctors, again, for 3 straight months now, all I've done is listen to doctors and repeat what they say. Like, I don't know how that's controversial. Just listen to the doctors and repeat what they say. I don't argue with the doctors. I don't try to pretend I know more than the doctors. I just listen to them, and I repeat what they say. And if the doctors are saying, if you do A, B, and C, it is safe to go back to a gym now, then I don't know why I would be a hypocrite to then scream, well, I disagree with the doctors, if I've been agreeing with the doctors all along. So he's going to start doing that, I assume, this week. But, you know, when I went to the grocery store yesterday, I still wore a mask. I still had disinfectant. I'm not going to change any of those habits until, again, I'm told by people way more educated on this than I that it's the proper thing to do.
Yeah, and there's nothing lost. Wearing a mask at the grocery store, as opposed to not having someone come clean my house, means I have to clean my house. Whereas not going to the grocery store with a mask or without a mask, like, there's really, it doesn't matter unless I'm just, you know, trying to be obstinate. Okay, anyway, you watched golf.
It keeps me out of a bunch of random conversations, too. like, nobody feels comfortable trying to talk to you in a, in a mask. Right. So I hey GP, how you think the Tigers are going to be? I just get hey, what's up GP, and I hit them back with a wave, and we're all good. it makes the shopping experience quicker.
Gary, forever in a mask. So okay, so you watched the golf. I watched the golf. It was great. Why was it so great?
It was so it started off so great. The storyline was Tom Brady sucks. I mean, that's just fun to watch. And it wasn't only that he sucks. Like, you can see maybe Charles Barkley sucking, and he'd sort of laugh along with it. You know, at one point, Barkley said, you know, Tom can take a joke. I'm not actually sure Tom Brady can take a joke. He was seething on the course. I mean, you can see it in his face. Right. And anybody who's ever been in that position, you know what that feels well, like. His position, totally different. It's on national television. The whole world, 6 million people are watching. But, like, if you've ever been in a foursome and you are clearly the worst and playing bad. Like, I'm the worst in the group just about every time I play. But when you suddenly can't even do the things you're capable of doing, like now you're just rolling the ball and everybody else is playing relatively well, it's miserable. It really does become just a miserable experience. Like, if it was reasonable to just quit right there, just hit a button and you'd be back home and forget about it, like, that's what you would do. And Tom Brady was feeling that on a level that you just don't normally see. I mean, think about it. How often on television do you watch a golfer just suck? Like, even the bad pros are amazing. Like, you don't see them hit just, like, do the things that Tom Brady was consistently doing. So that was what made it fun at first. Like, everybody's getting their jokes off on Twitter, and you're watching this seemingly perfect individual. Looks great. Accomplished Super Bowl champion, and oh my God, like he's worse than I am. That's fun. Then of course he holds out on 7, and that was just it's the most ridiculous turn of events you could imagine. And that is the essence of what brings average people to golf and brings them back. Is that was an extreme example. But, like, that happens to you every round, even if you're not good. You don't pull out from the fairway, but you hit a shot that looks like, you know, that you just put a ball somewhere. Perhaps a pro couldn't have even done that in that moment. I mean, they obviously could have, but they might not have. And it's the one thing I've always said about golf. Like, if you go get in a batter's box against a major league pitcher, you will never touch the ball. I mean, you won't touch it. If I say, hey, there's Russell Westbrook, go guard him, you can't do that. If I say, hey, here's, I don't know, name your favorite running back, go tackle him, you can't do that. But you could actually play one hole, not 18, but one hole against a pro randomly and maybe beat him or equal him. And that's what it makes the sport, you know, the trick every golfer, bad golfer, lies to himself about is, man, if I could just do that every time. You know, you hit one good shot, you're like, man, if I could just do that every time. Well, you can't do it every time. If you could, you'd be a professional golfer. But the fact that you can do it sometimes, it makes the good outweigh the bad. And I thought that was on full display with Tom Brady. Like, he was bad, 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 then amazing. And then, of course, it got competitive on the back nine. Like, it got close, and Tiger sort of dials in. Like, suddenly he's not saying a word. Like, Tiger Woods is no longer talking because he's just completely locked in. And you had real competition between four all-time great athletes. Obviously, two of them golfers, two of them not. But still, four all-time great, you know, American athletes. And it was just it was a fun way to spend 5 hours on television. And obviously, the numbers reflected that. And I think it's just also another example of why Major League Baseball and the NBA, like, they just have to figure that out this week, because everything sports related, UFC, German soccer, documentaries, anything sports related is getting huge numbers right now. And the NBA and Major League Baseball would be crazy if they don't cash in on that somehow.
You're exactly right, by the way. On Brady, I think he can take a joke. When he said in there, he said, I'm getting ready for a Super Bowl. I'm trying to win, you know, I'm getting ready for football. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. That is not a guy who's taking a joke. That is, you screwballs can retire. He's defending himself. You know, he's trying to defend himself and explain his crappy play. That was not Tom taking a joke.
If you can take a joke, you don't have to. That's exactly what he was doing. It'd be the equivalent of me, you know, that hitting a ball into the woods off of the first tee and going, oh, well, I didn't warm up properly. You know, like, exactly, you know, it's just like, yeah, it's like, no, that's just what I do, you know? And like, that was, Brady was doing what he does. But in that moment when he felt like, and think about how many times in his life, certainly in the past 20 years, who's been making jokes about Tom Brady? Like, there's no Tom Brady jokes. Like, Tom Brady is not the guy who stands in a room and gets made fun of. And suddenly, he's rolling a ball around a course. Charles Barkley's in his ear making jokes. He was in an unusual place. And he could, he had to, you know, I've been preparing for trying to win a Super Bowl. Like, he had to say, the reason this is happening to me isn't because I'm not good at this. It's because I've been focused on other things. The fact that he needed to say that out loud suggests it, he cannot take a joke. He wasn't there to take jokes. He's never really been the butt of jokes.
This was great for him, though, wasn't it?
I mean, he played the whole out on seven was
no, but
incredible.
The way, in total, if you were Tom Brady's people, And you were told this is exactly how this is going to go. You're going to suck. You're going to hole out. And the ratings would be the biggest for cable ratings for any golf event ever. And this is what people are, should we do it or not? The answer is a resoundingly yes, right?
I don't know. Like, if it humanized him in
That's
some
what I mean.
Way.
I think it humanized him. You don't
except
get that?
I don't think he's human. I don't think he's a normal person. And so he did not, like, I think if Peyton Manning would have done what Tom Brady did, Peyton's personality would have come through. Everything would have been lighter with Peyton. Plus, he's just naturally funny, and he's a better, like, Peyton Manning.
Well, he's much funnier. I mean, he's naturally funny. He's hilarious.
Peyton Manning is got, and I don't know Peyton Manning, but I can just say how he appears, is that he is an incredible athlete, all-time great, really smart guy, incredibly successful guy, who seems, when I see him on television, like somebody that you could hang out with, even if that guy's got no reason to be in the circle with you. And Tom Brady doesn't feel like that way at all. Tom Brady feels like you would be talking to another species. Peyton Manning feels like you'd be talking to your next door neighbor, again, just based on what I see on TV. And so I don't think that you walk away from what you saw from Tom Brady on Sunday going, well, oh, that's
well, he's
Tom
just
Brady
a regular was... guy. No, but
no,
I did walk away.
He seems like a not regular guy who sucks at golf. That's what he seemed like to me.
I did. To me, I also, a not regular guy who sucks at golf, who was willing to put himself in that situation, who I've now, he's not perfect at everything. He sucked at golf. And I was rooting for him. Like, I found it so painful that I actually, for the first time in my life, in anything, was rooting for Tom Brady. In terms of the hangout quality, though, those four, as just human beings to hang out with, rank them.
Peyton 1, Phil 2, easy. Tiger 3.
Peyton easy on a tier of his own, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know. Mickelson seems
but nerdy, but he is kind of irritating. But he's full of himself. He's full of himself, right?
I think some of that is just, and Jeffrey could probably speak to this better than I.
It's
but
part
like,
of his charm. Like, part of his charm is the fig jam, if I'm good, just ask me. Like, that is part of his, like, that's part of what makes
like,
him.
Like, when he does these Instagram videos, like the one he did
Fireside
Sunday
with Phil.
Morning. Yeah, like, he's just, I think he's over the top intentionally being ridiculous. Like, that. It's not like, some people are unintentionally ridiculous. He right. seems intentionally ridiculous when he's being ridiculous. So, I don't know that I'd put Peyton head and shoulders above Phil, but I would put. I think Peyton Phil clearly one and
don't
two.
Don't you think
in
Tiger
order.
Better than? I actually think Tiger better to hang out with than Brady, because I think the stoic Tiger thing. I think underneath that he might actually be a decent guy to hang out with. No.
Oh yeah, I think
maybe
with
as
Brady,
good as Phil. Maybe as good as Phil.
I think with Brady, it's largely what you see is what you get. Like, that's kind of who he is. And with Tiger, I'm sure there's a – well, we know there's another side of him that is vastly different than
well,
Joe
we're not
Tiger.
Talking about that side, GP.
I've seen his ding-a-ling, you know? I've seen his ding-a-ling on the internet. There's Tiger loosens up a little bit, it appears. His ding-a-ling's on the internet. But, I don't know that Brady.
Why is his ding-a-ling? What's the circumstances for his ding-a-ling?
Get hacked.
I think he's.
But who was he showing it to? Was he showing it to what's her name?
Lindsey Vonn.
Lindsey Vonn? Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah, I think she got hacked. and in her phone.
She had tigers dingling in her phone.
Imagine somebody. Nobody has my dingling in their phone. Nobody, I don't even think anybody would want it. But, like, what is that? I don't even understand that.
Any argument for the Grizzlies preferring to play the Lakers in the first round, assuming that there's no play-in tournament, it's just the top 16, okay? Any argument for why I would prefer the traditional Western Conference 1-8 seeding, the Lakers-Grizzlies, versus the 1-16, which has them playing Toronto 3 against the Grizzlies 14? Any argument for the Lakers?
Well, the Raptors is clearly an easier pass. So, like, if you're trying to win a series or even a game, you'd rather play the Raptors than the Lakers. That seems obvious to me. The argument the other direction is, okay, easier path to what? Where are you going? You know, like, maybe you win a game or a round, but, like,
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.